Morning. Happy Sabbath. Y'all don't understand. I didn't tell anybody other than Dennis what my title was, and I think some of you may have seen an email. I wish that we could leave almost every word on this wall that was up there this morning, because you will be astonished at how it ties in with what I plan to say. And I want to keep one from the song we sang, hymn 253, Sunshine in the Soul. In the second verse, there's a phrase that says, "And Jesus, listening, can hear the songs I cannot sing." And I want you to keep that phrase in the back of your mind. And I'll try to remind you of it. I'll get a little further into what I have to say, and I think it'll illustrate something pretty impressive. Anyway, y'all are getting ripped off because I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So maybe we should start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you do for us and for the opportunity to come here this morning and praise your name, and to learn of you, and to spend some time reflecting, to spend some time with your Spirit amongst us, learning how we can serve you better. We just ask that your presence will be here in us, and that we will go from this place changed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I learned, preparing for this, that I'm not really a speaker. I'm a pretty fair talker, but I don't always say anything. I'm a talker. So I sat down and I tried to have something to actually say today. So I'd make notes and scribble down ideas, and I'd look up some verses and all this. And directly I stood back and I kind of surveyed what I'd done. And I had these little hodgepodge of piles of stuff. Piles of thoughts and stacks of ideas here and there, and they were all just little stacks, and there wasn't anything in any one of these stacks that was enough to talk about. I thought, well, it doesn't really matter, I'm just a talker. But I reflected a little bit more, and it started to occur to me that three of these little piles sort of went together. It appeared clear to me that they were related. Now, I have to give a disclaimer here, because appeared clear to me doesn't necessarily mean it's clear to anybody else, because I don't always look at things the same way everybody else does. Sometimes I sneak up on the line from in front and see if I can just confuse them. Sometimes I get to pet the line, and sometimes I get mauled. I don't look at things the same way. I'll give you an example. A few years ago, I was listening to comedian Stephen Wright. I kind of like him. Kind of witty, kind of monotone, but you got to listen. He asked a lot of interesting questions, and he asked a question this one day: was the alphabet always in that order, or did they change it because of that stupid little song? Well, instantly, something clicked in my brain again, and I just wanted to call him and go, no, don't blame the song. Don't you understand? The tune fits in any direction, right? Some of you heard me do this before, right? Think about it. ZYXWVUTSRQPONMLKJIHGFEDCBA. Now I said my ZYX, tell me what you think comes next. Right? It's obvious. So it's not the song. That's my disclaimer. Be careful. I don't always think the same way everybody else does, so we'll move on. Obviously, the three piles of thoughts that I picked were titled Shaky Legs, The Little Drummer Boy, and God in High Definition. Now, I've probably broken some cardinal rule of public speaking by giving away everything I intend to talk about right there in the title, but we'll give it a whirl. I would call this a brief reflection on our personal testimonies. I don't have a lot of scriptures this morning because I want to talk about us, our testimony. And true to form, I need to start with the last part first. So, God in high definition. Start with the easy part first. Hopefully we tie it all together before we're done. Now, there are a myriad of examples of God in high definition all around us. The glory of creation, the reliability and predictability of the seasons and tides and sunsets. We just sang about a whole bunch of that. Go to the mountains, go to the beach, watch the little kids run around the playground on potluck Sabbath. God in high definition. It's everywhere. I suspect, for as good a job as he did up here for so many years, Nathan probably had just about as much church in the wilds of Alaska in God's creation as he did up here some Sabbaths. Psalms 19, verse 1, I've heard it a lot, it's a simple verse. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. It's everywhere. I'll give you another example of how I think. You ever go outside on a cloudless night when there's no moon and wonder if the fire ants appreciate the stars? The atmosphere we live in is amazing. Most people have no idea the power that is represented in our atmosphere. They'd probably freak out if they thought about it. Scientists say that a typical cumulus cloud contains over 1 million pounds of water. How many clouds are there out there today? How many trillions of pounds of water floating over Montgomery County? It boggles the mind. So we see God in virtually everything that surrounds us, and it seems so obvious to us. But is it really? I'll read you John 14, verses 8 and 9. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? They were missing the obvious. Jesus was frustrated. The very people that he had spent the most time with didn't recognize the Father in him. How about us? The world is full of people who don't know God. They can't see him in creation like we do because many of them don't even acknowledge creation. I would love sometime to sit down and talk with an evolutionist and ask them, if we all started from pond scum, why did so many of us evolve to believe in a God? If there were no God and we evolved, why would you ever have the need to even believe in one? And yet, somehow, if you believe their theory, randomly, billions of us came to believe that there's a God. I mean, look at how many religions, from Islam and Judaism and Christianity, there must be billions of people on this planet that believe in God. I don't think that just happens. There's a reason for that. So if these people are going to see God in high definition, then we're going to have to show them. So how do we do that? Well, now we segue to the little drummer boy. Can you convince someone that God is real? This is where it starts to get personal. This morning, I would ask you to start by looking inside and thinking, what makes God real to you? I'm pretty sure most of us in here believe in God, believe that he's real. You probably have a favorite Bible verse. You probably have a favorite Bible story. I don't care. I don't want to hear it. What makes God real to you? What happened in your life that makes him real to you? Was it a single aha moment that changed your life, that made God real, that made you want him to be a part of you? Was it a series of little events? Christianity by lead poisoning. Eventually something built up and you said, wait a minute, this can't all just happen. God must be real, and I want him. What was it? All of our stories are unique, and that's important. because there are unique people out there who don't know God, and they need to hear about them. And they may just need to hear about them from your perspective. They might want the ABCs in the right order, but they might want to hear your story. And that's important. Now for me, I grew up in the church, mostly this church. Went to Sabbath school, VBS, the entire 12-step program to salvation. Baptized the day after my 14th birthday. And I absolutely believed in God early on. And I'd try to memorize verses and stuff. But I had difficulty sometimes sharing what I believed with other people. Oh yeah, I'd do the right things. I'd memorize verses and what chapter my favorite story was in and on. Just like 2 Timothy 2:15 admonishes us. 2 Timothy 2:15, you've heard this one a million times. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Got it. Divide this thing, cut it to pieces, know exactly where it is. Something was missing. Part of what was missing, I think, is found in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. And 1 Peter 3:15 reads, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." If we've asked God into our hearts, then we need to have an answer. We have a testimony. It's personal. It's in here now. This is great, but it's in here. And we need to be able to share it with it from within here in a way that's real and meaningful to other people. I can tell you that God is real because He has shown Himself to me. And you can do the same. He's real, and you know He's real. I've seen God in high definition all over the place. I've seen God in high definition through the windshield of a little airplane. Scenes that movie makers would love to be able to recreate. Unbelievable. We were flying one day from Fort Worth down to College Station. Between these two layers of clouds, it was surreal. Below us is far as you could see in any direction. Just flat stratus clouds. It looked like you could step out and walk on a gray floor. And above us, a couple thousand feet, as far as you could see, a gray ceiling, flat, that went forever. And here and there, scattered around, were these giant black columns that were keeping the ceiling up. Shafts of rain pouring from one layer down through the other. Just unbelievable. Sunsets, thunderstorms, rainbows, scenes that defy words, which is ironic because I like words. This is the inspired Word of God. And I love to play with words, and I like to sometimes take a verse or two and try to write a poem, try to twist the words around, try to capture what that verse means to me, what I think it's trying to say. And what amazes me, the more and more I do that, is I realize you could write pages and volumes about practically a single verse and never fully capture what that verse means. That makes it real to me. It makes this a living word. It means it's something special. How about music? A lot of verses in here about music. Most of y'all are really good at music. I'm not so much. But music is something that makes God real to me. I can remember from about, I don't know, second grade, about the time we moved into the house in Huntsville, on a Friday night, laying on the floor listening to gospel music from an old reel-to-reel tape player, which half of y'all probably don't even know what that is. But anyway, at that early age, some of those old hymns, I mean, amazing old songs. Back then, I probably thought they were written at the same time the Bible itself was. Time was kind of a nebulous thing back then. But beautiful hymns that were clearly written by people who were inspired of God. And it makes it real. And over the years, there were record players and cassette players, and now there's CDs. And different generations and different styles of music. And over, every generation and a different artist, if the artist is really playing for the honor and glory of God, it comes through. It's unmistakable. It's alive. God is real. I know God is real because He's still inspiring these words and music that are being written today. Now, I mentioned The Little Drummer Boy because it's always one of my favorite songs. Now, Mom may have known this. I didn't know this. Did a little research. It was originally titled Carol of the Drum. It was written in 1941 by Catherine Davis. I'm not sure when the name got changed. I forgot to write that down. But it was popularized in 1955 by the Von Trapp Family Singers. They recorded it, which you might remember they were the ones, the inspiration for the movie or the musical, The Sound of Music. That's where that came from. And I know the song is fiction, but there's a real message in here. It's a simple song, and I like it because this little boy only has a simple snare drum. That's all he owns, and that's all he has to praise Jesus with. And he plays his heart out. He pours himself into it. What an inspiration. What a message. I don't have to have a lot of talent. I just got to use it to praise God. That's what it's about. And if you can get something from a simple little message like that, it's another reminder. God is real. He's alive. Shortly after the Woodlands Mall opened, KSBJ had one of their brown bag concerts in the food court in front of Chick-fil-A. I don't know if y'all have ever been to any of these. The group was Mercy Me. They were pretty new at the time. We were homeschooling. Kathy was homeschooling. I was teaching the kids to say the alphabet backwards. Anyway, so we went to the food court to see Mercy Me. We got there early, and we sat up there, and of course we enjoyed their music, but they gave some amazing testimonies, and I couldn't quote them, but I was impressed with what they had to say, and their witness was meaningful to me, and I followed their songs over the years. And a few years ago, they wrote a song. This is probably my favorite song right now. Got it on my phone, listened to it 2-3 times a week. Mom might not like it, might not be her style of music, but I think she'd like the words. And the phrase that we sang in Sunshine of the Soul about Jesus listening can hear the song I cannot sing leapt out at me, because part of the reason that this is my favorite song is because I can't sing it. Not that just I can't sing, I know that, but I mean, I try. I play this thing 2-3 times. The song is God With Us. A lot of y'all know the words. The first verse starts out, "Who are we that you should be mindful of us? What do you see that's worth looking our way? We are free in ways that we never should be. Sweet relief from the grip of these chains. Like hinges straining from the weight, my heart no longer can keep from singing. And I want to sing." And then the chorus starts, and it starts out, "All that is within me cries." And that's exactly what happens. Gone. Lose it every time. Choked up, obliterated by that song. Every time. And something about that just grabs me by the collar and screams, God is real. He is alive. He is still inspiring people to write words that mean something. He is speaking to us if we are willing to listen. And that's why it's my favorite song. Can't sing it for nothing. Anyway, so what about you? What makes God real for you? And what about shaky legs? Fear. There's a subject I'm almost an expert on. y'all know me, like some of y'all had for most of my life, you know how scared I was of. Up till I was about 14 years old, I was scared of everything and a whole list of things that didn't even exist. But I can almost remember a trip to California. Must have been 4 years old-ish. All I really remember is all these cousins and relatives that I later got to know as being pretty good people, and I didn't want to see them and be seen by them, and I was trying to sit behind Dad on the couch, pretty much. Don't really know how that works, but that's pretty much what I was trying to do. Fear. Just scared for no apparent reason, just scared. And on and on. Back when the church was still over here where the parking lot is now, when some of us boys were 10, 12 years old, they'd try to get us to lead worship singing. Man, I dreaded that. I'd try to pick a song that I thought I could squeak out the first few words of the voice and then, or verse and just lip sync it from there. Just terrified of that. Absolutely scared. But what did I miss? Fear is a thief. What did I miss from those fears? The first poem I ever wrote, I wrote it down, typed it up, wasn't even sure why I wrote it down. And one day I decided, well, maybe I'm supposed to share it. There ain't no way I'm getting up here and sharing that. So I came in here one Sabbath between class and worship service, and I handed it to Nathan. I said, I don't know what's supposed to happen with this, but maybe you can use it someday. And he found a way to blend it in with what he had to say that day and appropriately blame me for it. And people said some nice things, and we went on, and eventually I got to the point where I could stand up here and read my poems. Slowly chipped away at that fear. But what did I miss early on because of the fear? First time Kathy and I went out to eat, we started dating. Oh my goodness, I was a wreck. I didn't eat a bite. I was a mess. So then I got bright and decided, well, we'll go flying because I'm never scared of flying. So I took her up for an airplane ride, watched the sunset over Dallas. We come back to where after dark to where we're supposed to land, and I can't see the airport down there. Like, well, I know it's down there somewhere. When we get close, the headlight will light up the runway. We'll be fine. And Kathy's like, is this dangerous? Like, oh, no. We just don't practice this a lot, which means I ain't never done this. But we survived. And now, 25-plus years of marriage later, the only thing I fear would be to be without her. 2 years ago, Stephen and Denny and I start deciding we're going to try to play songwriter. And somehow we came up with the idea that I need to get up here and sing one of those songs. I think I did it as much to see if I'd get up here and pass out as anything. It's like, you couldn't even lead songs years ago with everybody else drowning you out. How are you going to get up here and sing? But I made it through. But fear is a powerful thing. If you look in the 25th chapter of Matthew, there's a parable of the talents. And most of you are familiar with it, and I'll paraphrase most of it. But it talks about a master who gives his servant some talent. He gives one of them five talents. And that servant goes and does things and basically doubles. And when the master comes back, he presents it with 10. And another servant, he gives two talents, and he does the same thing. He doubles them and returns. But if you get down to verses 24 through the first part of verse 26 in Matthew chapter 25, it's talking about the servant that he gave one talent to. And it reads like this. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. And lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant. The devil tries to use fear to steal our testimony, to silence our talents. He'd love for us to bury our talents. Better for him if we go to the grave without ever sharing our story, without ever sharing our testimony. But don't let fear or doubt keep you from sharing your testimony. You are made in the image of God. You know that God is real, and you have a story to tell, a beautiful story that paints God in high definition, in brilliant color, in amazing images, all his magnificence. So do not be silenced by fear. Many of y'all have heard songs by Andre Crouch. He's most famous for My Tribute. One of his songs, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. Probably know the words of that. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. The blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. He wrote that song when he was 14 years old. And he wadded it up in a ball and he threw it in the trash because he didn't think anybody wanted to hear it. And his twin sister pulled it out of the trash and saved it. And I don't know how long after that it was before he was willing to share that song with anybody else. But what a tragedy if that had been lost. Fear. It is a powerful tool of the devil. He wants to silence your talents. So, you might say, okay, Mr. Talker Man, you talk pretty good. You sit up there and go, don't be scared. Easy for you to say. Well, it's easy to say. It's not easy to overcome fear. I wouldn't even pretend that that is true, but it's possible. It's going to take prayer, and it's going to take courage, and it's going to take practice. But if you look around, you have a pretty amazing support group. This church has been an inspiration for a whole bunch of my poems over the years and a few songs. Encouragement by some of you folks over the years is the reason that I could get up here voluntarily today and stand before you. No place to hide behind Dad up here. So how do you overcome fear? Don't have all the answers other than prayer and getting in the inspired Word of God. But I go back to music. Music is a strange thing in a way. Music is almost like glue that makes the words stick to your brains. Isn't it weird how you can remember lyrics more than or better than almost anything? I think I've written lyrics for about 15 songs now, and I can quote every one of them. I've written 50 plus poems over the years, and I can't quote a one of them. Or that's what I thought until I started preparing. And just about a day or two ago, it occurred to me that there's actually one poem that I could probably quote from memory. And I kind of brushed that off. And then I thought about it a little bit yesterday, and I found it very strange that the one poem that I could come pretty close to quoting from memory was the first poem that I ever wrote and was too scared to read it and handed it to Nathan. Fear is a strange, strange thing, but it can be overcome with the power of God. So Shaky Legs, The Little Drummer Boy, and God in High Definition. Don't let fear silence your testimony. Look inside you. Think back to what first led you to God, things that you've seen over your life. What makes God real in your life? What is it that you have to share personally that you can tell other people, this is how I know that God is real? And then share him. Paint that picture in high definition. You can do it. The first poem I ever wrote, I entitled Senses, after our five senses. And I think some of the words to that and some of the words up here today went together a little bit. I've seen the world from miles above and listened to the winds. I've smelled the coming of the rain and felt the touch of friends. I've tasted of the joys of life, and still I go on living without a pause or word of thanks for all the gifts you've given. So help me, Lord, to hear the cries and cause mine eyes to see the people that I pass each day who've never heard of thee. Let me touch the lives of them who may have never heard nor tasted of the blessings you've promised in your word. Yes, help me share my gifts each day as you so richly bless. And finally, Lord, instill in me a sense of thankfulness. Thank you for your time.